All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, April the 3rd, 2014. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like descending into a police state information security and Googling suspicious things. I'm Morps, and tonight we have the BSV. Unfortunately, I don't have the dramatic sound on my soundboard, or I'd play that for you. What are you drinking
dramatic
tonight, BSV?
Squirrel JPEG.
Yeah, well, if you say my name, it just thunders naturally in the background. Thunderstorms show up.
Yeah, but what are you drinking?
The polar vortex, the BSV.
I'm still on my Angry Orchard kick.
There you go.
What can I say? I like card cider.
Hey, no, that's all right. We have the Fox. Any relation to Fox News there, Fox?
Thank God, no. Well, actually, the money I wouldn't mind, but... Dude, I should look into that. Those bastards owe me money.
Copyright infringement?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, no shit.
You're newsing wrong.
What are you drinking, Fox?
They news better than CNN.
CNN. Everything's the headline. Seriously, everything.
CNN. 24-hour coverage of a missing airplane.
Dude, the best part is when they did a report on their own report reporting on the missing airplane.
It's all good.
It was like fucking Inception.
CNN, we are that news desperate Inception. For content.
Oh, man, you like the shooting at Fort Worth or whatever it was? They interviewed the dude that was shot from 2009 and asked him to meticulously describe what it felt like being shot. This dude is like welling up, trying to think back of himself being shot, and the news reporter is just pushing him harder and harder.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, for fuck's sake, this is not news. You're trying to get this guy to cry. This is fucking terrible.
Well, that's because they want their soundbite for the next report. You know, they want to be able to, you know, play that video clip of him crying. In case you haven't figured it out yet, we do have RU486. Are you drinking anything interesting?
Yeah, Michael J. Fox, Shutter Coffee.
There you go.
Yeah, it'll increase your productivity, but shit'll get broken in the process.
What earthquake? No. Oh, that was a little dark.
Never.
No. When speaking of the shooting down there, as soon as Artie linked me the story, I sent him back in the Full Metal Jacket scene from the bathroom.
Yes.
7.62mm Full Metal Jacket.
That's right. We were making jokes before the guy was even on the floor.
I like the Archer scene better. They start knocking on the bathroom door. Someone's in here! All right, Sard. What are you drinking, man?
I've got a rum and coke tonight.
Excellent. I went straight for the Devil's Cut. I'm not even bothering getting with the Robot Revolution Stout because I've got a crap ton of it. So
that is not a bad thing. Never ever say that like it's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
I have too much booze, damn it.
It's not a bad thing. It's a fantastic beer. But a little variation is nice when you realize you have, you know, a case of the stuff. So anyways. No real station news. We're still kind of experimenting with it. I've been told we're getting dropouts here and there. If it's really bad, I can get a hold of the stream host and have something done. So feedback form, message me on Skype, smoke signals, whatever. Just let me know if it's having problems. We can go yell at our host and try to get that straightened up. So I guess we'll move right into...
User in your channel, timed out.
We just lost RU. Fuck.
That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
Someone let a wallaby loose and land down under again.
So,
danger.
Let's just give him half a second here, see if he makes it back in.
Well, he was promising not to set the house on fire. He might have been lying.
I could have waited until after the show.
Whoops. So, let's see. Looks like, well, Skype still has him online. That's interesting. Huh. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to wait for him to make it back in. So, discussion topic for tonight. Somebody in the UK actually got caught running one of the fake Microsoft call scams. The story's from the BBC. Mohammed Khalid Jamal, 34, from Luton, hired people at an Indian call center to falsely tell victims their computers had a serious problem. And I'm pretty sure everybody's gotten one of these stupid calls. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm from Microsoft, and your computer has a problem. And, you know, it's like, you have a virus. I've got a lot of computers in the house. You have to be more specific. The one you're sitting at right now. this is a Commodore 64. If it's got a Windows virus on it, I would love to meet the man who wrote it.
Well, just as long as they don't say that while you're on the toilet.
So, well, that would explain this burning sensation.
User entered your channel.
There's are you. But, you know, BSV, you make the joke, but you forget. I actually have a handful of computers in the fucking bathroom, and
it's like, so, yeah, forget who I am speaking to.
It's like, no, I'm pretty sure this machine doesn't have a virus. It's a thin client, and it's running Windows CE. anyways, so
even better would be if you were sitting in front of a BSD box or Linux box. Yes, you have a Windows virus. It's called the I love you virus. We need to remove it.
So if this is a Windows 7 box, man, if it's got the I love you virus, it's had a serious rewrite. Are you? I don't know if you got a chance to see the discussion topic before you.
Yeah, you were talking about the Mumbai bullshit with they said they caught someone.
Yeah, they caught somebody doing the fake Microsoft calls. So yeah. Let's see here. Targets would be charged between £35 and £150 for software Microsoft made available for free. So yeah, they'd go grab the free, you know, Windows Defender and charge people for installing it, pretty much.
Nice. Like your local small town like computer repair shops. Oh yeah, I'm gonna charge you out the ass to run Adaware and Spybot Search and Destroy. $200.
Well, hell, it's not just the small town guys that do that. Have you ever seen the pricing for Best Buy's repair jobs?
Oh, no, it's ridiculous.
I've never had a reason to take my computer anywhere near those morons.
Oh no, I wouldn't let them touch my computer with a pole. It's but I've had family.
I've never seen the bill on any computers I've worked on after they took it to those idiots either.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, I took it to them. I was like, yeah, and it's still fucked. Surprise, surprise.
I've had to. I actually had somebody. It wasn't Best Buy. It was Office Depot. They took a machine to, and this is a really funny story. The IT tech who was working there doing repairs was the guy I got fired from my high school. That's a fun story in and of itself. We had this guy who was the one IT guy for the high school. And he was in one of the classes we were in. He held up, you know, you got to remember this is 1997, I'm wanting to say. I don't remember the exact year this happened, but I was in high school. And this guy holds up a Pentium 3 processor, right? And like 400 megahertz Pentium 3. And he's like, this processor cost $800. And I'm like, no, it doesn't.
You got robbed.
And I got in trouble for running him out of the classroom. And then I explained, no, I just bought a Pentium 3 that's a 600 megahertz because I just finished building a gaming rig for like, you know, $200. He's fucking embezzling money. And then I got in trouble for cussing. and then a week later, he got fired. So that's always fun. But
accidentally outing someone with a joke. Nice.
And he got caught for somebody went back and checked the books. He was ordering like one computer that would cost like $600-700 worth of parts. He was putting it on the books for like $5,000. And pocketing it.
Wow.
And he just got fired. He didn't go to jail, which was strange. But I think they were having a hard time proving things. But
either that or he knew something worse about someone else.
Well, that could be the case. But this is the same dick who would remote into people's, you know, like into the lab machines or people who are doing homework and just close, you know, Word or whatever they were working on, make them lose their work. So, yeah, he was a dick. He really didn't like it that several people, several of my friends knew way more about IT than he did, let alone me. So he didn't much care for that either. But let's see, back to
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, no shit. he was about at Kevin's level, I'd say.
Great.
But anyways, he had repaired this machine, and I got looking at it The IDE cable was plugged in upside down.
Those are keyed for a reason.
They're key. Yes, they're fucking keyed. He had forced it.
Did he file it?
So he forced it.
Yeah, it's like you have to try to fuck that up.
Yes, yes, you do.
And
when it does not go in easy, it does not mean push harder.
Well, he did.
That's his sex life experience.
Oh,
well, his understanding of what he thought sex was.
Push harder.
Oh. The sad part
well,
is you
give in.
You're probably not wrong. That's the sad part. Anyways, but yeah, it took us a little while a pocket knife and a pair of pliers to get that drive fixed because he had to unbend the pin that had been shoved down by the key.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
But we got it working. But you know, hell, it's just like, you know, she paid $150 to have that machine worked on and they made it worse.
Jeez.
It's like, holy crap. Where was I? Let's see. Targets for church. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Ryu.
Yeah. Sorry. I was just going to say where you were. You were talking about the charges.
Right. Okay. So he got a suspended sentence of 12 months. He was ordered to pay a £5,000 fine. He must also pay £5,665 in compensation and... well, almost £14,000 in prosecution costs. That's it.
That's cheap, dude.
Yeah, he's getting away with under, £20,000.
That's cheap. Like, he needed a public beating as well.
No, but you know he was probably making more than that a month.
Oh, definitely.
And how much do people who had illegally downloaded stuff, data on their computer get charged?
Like $5,000 a song?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that's an excellent point, BSV. This guy had about five MP3s worth of damages he had to pay there. I like that. That is a fantastic unit of measurement when it
measurement.
Comes to...
Yeah, that is great. Five MP3s.
That is
damage.
Fantastic. Thank you, BSV. You're gonna appropriate that and use that from now on.
I think
he probably had a decent defense going of like, I was actually providing these people a service. Like, do you have any idea what kind of fucked up shit people will click on and install on their computers? Half the things that I said I would remove, there was actually something there to take care of.
Oh, I've got the bit from his defense in this story here. Let's see. The decision has been held by as a landmark case by Trading Standards. We believe it may be the first ever successful prosecution of someone involved in the Microsoft scam in the UK, said Lord Harris, chairman of the National Trading Standards Board. I hope Lord is a title and not the dude's name. which oversees the work of the National Trading Standards e-crime team. In court, Jamal admitted to unfair trading by allowing his staff to make false claims regarding computer support services. He claimed he tried but failed to control call center staff and did not adequately supervise them.
They were supposed to charge more.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, if the guy's name was actually Lord and it wasn't the title, I would, just to fuck with him, give him the title of Lord.
Lord.
Yeah.
Nice.
But
guy should be fucking flogged in the street, man. Did they say his name at all?
Muhammad Khalid Jamal.
Throw it in the thing for me, man. I'm gonna fuck with Muhammad.
Good luck narrowing down people named Muhammad in England right now.
I know.
I mean, go ahead and fuck with them all, but prepare for the fatwa.
I don't give a shit, man. I just hate these people. Really, dude. They're just the worst than terrorists.
Well, they're probably the ones that call you like five times every day.
That's what I mean.
Hello, Mr. 486. How may I please take off your computer from having the virus?
That's what I was going to say. He's probably going to get a call while we're doing the show here.
You know,
I've been getting the phone scam one lately.
Oh.
I would love... I seriously have thought about doing this, of like setting up either a Skype number or going and getting a throwaway phone and, you know, burner phone number, whatever, something I can associate with a fake name. And not because I want to do any scams, but because I want to get it on every fucking call list I can and just record the calls and screw with these people, and just, we could put it on the station. I just don't know that I want to deal with that level of brain pain.
Wow, his company name was Smart Support Guys?
Yeah.
Really? What a fucking retard.
No,
educated
no, no.
At Oxford.
The old people would fall for that, like...
Yeah, seems legit, you know.
But I mean...
Born in
smart. They're computer guys.
He was born in Dubai. Looks like he's attached the... Oh, he's got ties to the Saudi fucking kingdom. He's one of the fucking kids of an oil baron. This is why this cunt didn't do any jail time.
Yeah, he had a suspended sentence of 12 months, which means...
Yeah. Oh, this is bullshit, man. He's one of the fucking royalty kids from fucking Dubai.
Well, it's nice to see that somebody actually is getting prosecuted for this bullcrap. But, I mean, you look at these crazy light fines, the fact that he's not really going to do any jail time. It's not going to deter anyone else who's doing this bullshit. And
who's estimated he was making $1 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, the fines here are probably less than what he was making a week.
You know.
He's just going to change the company name, start it up again.
He's making 100 MP3s a year.
That should be the new cryptocurrency, just dealing MP3s.
Yes.
We need to.
I got an old hard drive laying around to make me a billionaire.
MP3 coin.
That's what we need, MP3 coin. Somebody get on that.
Yeah, if it's going to be all coin, though, you can't put it in a wallet. You got to put it in a coin purse.
Well, I don't want to open that up. I mean, that seems like...
You don't want to open... You don't want to open up the CP?
No! No, I do not, Fox!
I don't know, all those computers and cameras in your bathroom, you know?
Here's his business address and their phone number.
Nice.
Time to make some phone calls. Yeah.
Let's see here. His address is 141 Al Jassim Building, Omar... Oh, God, how do you say that? Omar M. Al-Katlab Road in Dubai. 11100 Dubai AE. Phone number 442071939836. Why are we reading that out on the air? Because fuck that guy. That's why.
Ring him for tech support.
Yes.
If someone can get a fucking recording of that company answering and you say, hello, I'm from fucking Microsoft, I will give you something. I don't know what it is.
I think we have a task to do after the show. Yeah, that or just wait for him to call you.
Get a
wait for him to call you, are you, and yell at the phone. I want to speak to Muhammad right now.
Yeah.
No, no, no. You get a box that you just don't give a shit about, and you allow them remote access into it, and it's just going to be full of pictures of Muhammad fucking a pig.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I seriously, somebody set up a call bot just to call that phone number every 5 minutes and play, you know, somebody saying, hello, I'm from Microsoft, your computer
the
has
Windows
a virus.
Startup sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Windows error message.
Or, you know, just take the loop of Jesse from Breaking Bad, just go, bitch, bitch, bitch.
Seriously,
that's what they
man.
Have Battletoads on the Wii, like on a ROM.
Oh man, somebody needs to fuck with this guy. Take that phone number and use it for good purposes.
Post it to 4chan, are you?
I was just gonna say, take it to the chans, dude.
Well, make sure you include the link to the story so people know why they care.
Yeah,
maybe a picture of tits, you know, just for good measure.
Oh, that's wow. One of those Google links. Hang on, I'll get you the real link. There you go.
See what else I can get for him.
Anyway, so while RU continues doxing there, I'm going to go ahead and do current events here. First story up is from, do we want to argue about how to say robo-rooters here? Nobody's touching that?
Nope.
Okay.
RU's busy.
Yeah. First story up is from Reuters here. Security industry pioneer RSA adopted not just one, but two encryption tools developed by the U.S. National Security Agency, greatly increasing the spy agency's ability to eavesdrop on some internet communications, according to a team of academic researchers. Reuters reported in December that the NSA had paid RSA $10 million to make a now-discredited cryptography system the default in software used by a wide range of internet and computer security programs. The system, called Dual Elliptic Curve, not Epileptic.
I was going to say Epileptic doesn't sound right.
Well, it's a random number generator, so... The dual elliptic curve was a random number. was a random number generator. We're not going to finish the show. we're just gonna have Tumblr all over us.
Shit, Lord.
Yep. Was a random number generator, but it had a deliberate flaw or a back door that allowed the NSA to crack the encryption. A group of professors from Johns Hopkins, University of Wisconsin, the University of Illinois, and elsewhere now say they have discovered that a second NSA tool exacerbated the RSA software vulnerability. And here's the fun part. These guys who are just now finding it, you think the black hats haven't known about this stuff forever? Because there are people out there who make it a point to break encryption.
Good point.
The professors found that the tool known as extended random... extension for secure websites could help crack a version of RSA's dual elliptic curve software tens of thousands of times faster, according to an advanced copy of their research shared with Reuters. The extended random was not widely adopted. The new research sheds light on how the NSA extended the reach of its surveillance under cover of advising companies on protection. And I can tell you, I actually have a little bit of experience with that. Where I work, we've had the FBI and the NSA come in and make some quote-unquote suggestions. And that's when you figure out, it's like, oh my God, I know more about network security than these people do. It's like, these people well, are supposed to
be... Of course you do, they're
awesome.
Government agencies.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, these people are supposed to be like the awesome ones coming in and telling us how to do it. And you start asking them simple questions about mobile devices, and they're just like, what? it's like we'll have to get back with you on that. It's like, I know
they're the guys that are like pushed out into the field getting minimum wage, like the real guys are, you know,
yeah,
back in their hackers styled data center.
Yeah, right.
Check it out, man, I pull in these plexiglass columns. I'm calling this one the Gibson.
RSA now
probably gave you They probably gave each other retarded code names like Plague and shit, like Zero Cool and Acid Burn. We're the NSA. We're badass.
Now,
man.
I liked that movie. Come on. Totally
awesome.
Stupid, but it was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Angelina Jolie and skin tight pleather. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, there's an answer to that.
I'm a side boob.
RSA. No.
Right. I can't remember what
you
show
see,
we're
Mops
on.
Just left the building. He's gone down to the bar. He's not even here anymore.
Wow.
Entire case of beer gone.
RSA, now owned by EMC Corp, did not dispute the research when contacted by Reuters for comment. The company said it had not intentionally weakened security for any product and noted that the extended random did not prove popular and had been removed from RSA's protection software in the last 6 months. Yep. 6 months ago, when all this shit started coming out, is when they went, oh, we better yank that. We could have been more skeptical of NSA's intentions, RSA chief technologist Sam Curry told Reuters. We trusted them because they are charged with security for the U.S. government and U.S. critical infrastructure. Curry declined to say if the government had paid RSA to incorporate extended random into its B-Safe security kit, which also housed a dual elliptic curve. An NSA spokeswoman declined to comment on the study or the intelligence agency's motives in developing extended random. The agency has worked for decades with private companies to improve cybersecurity, largely through its Information Assurance Directorate. After the 9/11 attacks, the NSA increased surveillance, including inside the United States, where it previously faced strict restrictions. So, NRU has found the Smart Tech Support Guys website.
They are still operating.
Well, of
they
course
are
they
still
are.
Motherfuckers. And guess what? They have an Australian business address. I'll be back. Just got to grab the phone.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
This is going to end so well. All right. I guess nobody cares about the RSA thing?
I mean,
tax not here, nobody's British, so...
Government not knowing what they're doing.
Well,
so,
I mean...
So pretty much NSA got the British agency...
What?
Free software to do the exact same...
British? RSA? The people who make the little key fobs?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Sorry. Sorry, it was the Reuters story. Got me thinking about
that's the one he's talking about.
Like RSA was the one who sold remote access and encryption to pretty much everyone up until they got popped a couple of years ago. So, yeah. Yep.
No, yeah, sorry, the Reuters threw me off. I was figuring England.
So, yeah. Anyone still running, anybody still using RSA security, you just need to get off that. You need to replace that with something else. Preferably go find yourself an open source replacement, because at least then you can audit it yourself if you ever feel so inclined. But let's see here.
But it brings up the question of you still have to question your encryption software and things like that you're using to protect yourself. It kind of reminded me of I know the publicly funded analysis of TrueCrypt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's ongoing now. I haven't seen any results of that, but I was just thinking that as a good example of, you know.
Yeah, there's. I think that's still ongoing. They raised their funds. You're right. I haven't seen anything that's come from that yet.
Yeah, they must still be analyzing it or something like
that.
Well,
if they're doing it right, it's going to be a very long time before we get any real answers out of it.
Right. Right, but so. I mean, you still have to, you know what encryption software that you're using and making sure that it doesn't have any, you know, adverse effects. I mean, I guess I don't know how you would really have known that, the RSA software, without looking at the source code, but
well, that's kind of the problem, isn't it? There's not really a great way to know that.
Yeah, so I guess there's always an inherent risk of what you're using to protect yourself might have a back door, might not be as secure as you think it is.
Well, and that's why I was suggesting, you know, it's probably be best to go with something open source, because at least then you can look at the code and, you know, see if there's anything commented out NSA backdoor.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be that obvious, but... All right. Let's see. Next one up is from muckedware.com. Ubuntu received well-deserved flack from the community and organizations like EFF and FSF for risking users' privacy by showing ads in the Dash search. For a long time, the community was asking Canonical to make the feature opt-in so that unsuspecting users don't end up sending data to Canonical's servers. It looks like Canonical has paid heed, and with Unity 8, the home scope will not show any results from Amazon.com. Michael Hall, a Canonical developer, told the author of this blog post on Google+, that with Unity 8, there won't be any search everything home scope, and if one wants to see Amazon results, I'll actually have to use the Amazon scope. This is a major improvement from Canonical in the right direction after picking up community-developed System D after dropping their own upstart. Why did I leave that line in? Because that doesn't reference the story. Anyways, none of these changes are being implemented in Unity 7, which is the current version, as it makes more sense to invest engineering sources in Unity, which is being developed for future releases. Unfortunately, at the moment, Unity 8 is not available for general use or testing, as it is in a very early stage. So I guess for anybody who wasn't in the know, the default Unity desktop on Ubuntu, it kind of had this universal search everything. So you just pull up a search box, and if you're looking for a program, you just start typing the name, it would come up. If you're looking for a file, it would come up. It was actually kind of neat to play with. I was never really a fan of the Unity interface, but goofing around with it, I liked the search. But you would get ads from Amazon in there. And all those Amazon ads had the Canonical affiliate code in there. And when you looked at what it was doing packet-wise to return that, it was actually bouncing your searches. Anything you searched on your desktop was bouncing up to Canonical servers. And that's been going on for a while, and they finally turned that off. They're going to turn that off. They haven't done it yet. But apparently...
About goddamn time.
Yeah, in the next version... Because I don't know about you guys, but I've pretty much completely switched over to KDE or XFCE for my desktop environments, because I won't touch Unity with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, me either. Well, I switched over to Mate. I dropped Ubuntu the second they started talking about Unity, and everyone was like, no, and they went, fuck you, we don't care.
Yeah.
And I think you're safe, though, for that search window, as long as you didn't, like, bury all your creepy porn folders in such a far down subdirectory that you couldn't remember where you put it and had to search for, you know, midget tranny goat porn.
I think you should have done that anyways, just so they'd have some interesting logs to read.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, you know, Linux or whatnot, probably tons of interesting results like that.
So... But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big-ass privacy concern, and one of the main reasons to use Linux is to get away from all the privacy concerns of, you know, iOS, which does everything through the internet, or, you know, Chrome, same thing. I mean, you know, Microsoft isn't much better. So.
Someone's looking at your shit.
Probably.
Heck. It's just how embarrassed are you going to be when they call you on it. Just don't look at porn that you're too embarrassed to tell your mom about.
Well, I mean, that leaves the door wide open for you, are you? You didn't give a fuck.
Yep. And that's why anyone snooping on my computer is just getting a whole education.
Well, you see, you have to look at stuff so embarrassing that people looking at it won't admit that they've seen you looking at it.
Oh yeah, cripple sex lips, man.
Oh
wow. I'm just gonna chalk this up as the
work.
the most out there episode of decking we've done in a while. let's see. Next story up is from computerworld.com. Blocking and throttling internet traffic will become illegal in the European Union following a parliamentary vote on Thursday. Members of the EU Parliament voted to close loopholes in a proposed law that some believed would have created a two-tier internet. The so-called telecoms package originally described specialized services, which would have allowed ISPs to charge more for more data intensive content services such as voice over IP and streaming video. After months of negotiations, the European Parliament has today adopted a proposal to close the last remaining loopholes in the text to enshrine net neutrality in European law. Today's votes create safeguards to ensure that players without deep pockets, such as startups, hospitals, or universities, cannot be pushed out of the market as a result of deals between internet service providers and content providers to offer faster services at higher prices. Said the Dutch member of the EU Parliament, Margriet Schakai? I'm not Dutch. I don't know how to say that name.
let's call her Marie.
Okay, Marie. The package also abolishes, and this is the actual important part, the package also abolishes roaming charges for mobile phone use in the EU, provides more for more coordination of spectrum use and adds consumer protection such as plain language contracts and greater rights to switch providers or contracts. Although many of the proposals were popular in Parliament, the most controversial issue was net neutrality. Really? I figured the roaming charges would be the one that you see the most fight on. The final text approved on Thursday defines net neutrality as the principle according to which all internet traffic is treated equally. So I'm going to quit reading and scroll down a bit because pretty much they go on describing it, but the EU is trying to pass a provision basically stating ISPs have to be dumb pipes, which is a good thing. But now here's the fun part. Everybody on the internet is celebrating this story, except the new law must still be approved by EU member states. So nothing's actually changed, but the law looks good on the books.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's still just a fancy piece of paper.
Yeah, pretty much. Until it's actually ratified by the member states, there's no enforcement.
Well, I mean, at least they're taking the time at this stage in the game to point out we don't want to leave this loophole open for them to fuck people over. Let's try to get this right the first time.
That's true.
So I'll at least applaud him for taking the initiative at this stage of the game, not rushing something through because it kind of looks good, but then everyone gets fucked in the ass, you know, 6 months down the road when the companies realize that, oh, it doesn't technically say we can't do this.
Yeah.
That and also being able to switch providers for your cell phone without roaming and no roaming charges would be nice too.
Yeah, I'd like to see. I'd love to see some more competition in the cell phone space stateside. I mean, it's not going to happen, but it'd be nice. Just
like
just,
you said, it's a good step in the right direction. Hopefully, it carries over to here. Well,
yeah,
man, we only copy the bad stuff.
Yeah, seems that way. That's for sure.
Yeah, but they had such stylish uniforms in the SS. I mean, did I say that out loud?
I can't fault them on their uniforms. It's their other actions.
Well, hell, Calvin Klein designed them, so I mean,
hell, IBM helped them execute most of it.
I need
for them.
We need to stop that line right now because it's going to only get worse. We're sad because it's true. Okay. But yeah, I mean, the EU's got a nice looking law here on the books. I don't know that it's actually going to do anything, but it looks good. So I have to point out that it still has to be approved by the member states. The thing hasn't actually done anything yet. But everybody
and
on the internet
if you
was
look at the way the EU operates, they can't really agree on anything.
Yep. But everybody online was celebrating this, so I have to rain on everybody's parade. Sorry. Mm-hmm. sorry, but it's the truth. Okay. Next one up is from The Verge. Millions have asked for it, and Microsoft is providing it. The old start menu is coming back, kind of. At its build conference today, Microsoft announced a new start menu that looks like a hybrid between the best of Windows 7 and Windows 8. It's around the same size as the Windows 7 menu, but also features miniature live tiles along one side. In the same
there was a best of Windows 8?
That's a good Hush point. Now. That's an excellent... the link to the article is right there in the show notes, so if you want to go hunt down the author and beat some sense into them with a nightstick, that's between you and the author. In the same demonstration, Microsoft also showed a new mode that allows modern Windows 8 apps, the Metro crap, to run in the desktop environment inside of their own Windows. It's a return to Windows roots for Microsoft and will make a lot of keyboard and mouse users very happy. The new desktop won't replace the current Windows environment entirely. The full screen start menu and apps will still be around for those who want them. A major Windows 8.1 update is coming later this month, but neither of the new features will make it into that refresh. Instead, it says they'll come as part of a future update of Windows later this year. That would be the whatever they're going to call, I guess, Windows 9.
That's
going to be a pay-for upgrade. You know that.
Of course. No, if you look at the screenshot, it's actually decent in my mind. I mean, it looks better.
It doesn't look
bad. It's probably... Yeah, it's if they did this and made Windows 8 like this out of the bat, and then, like they said, leave the window tile bullshit thing there for the people that are running tablets and actually want to use it, then I could say, okay, maybe it's not that bad, but it still goes back to the bullshit thing that they did in trying to force people to change.
I tell you, I've got Windows 8 on my work laptop now, and... I put a program on there called Start is Back, and I'm pretty sure that they left all the libraries for the start menu and shit like that from Windows 7 in there, and that all this program does is re-enable them, because it turns it back into Windows 7, and it runs fine for the most part.
Right. But, you shouldn't have to have a third-party program saying. If they did this and left it the way it is, I would consider giving it another shot.
But
or they could just make it so it will not make one program to run on both tablets and PCs.
Yeah, like I said, if they, I don't care if they leave it, the tablet part there, as long as it's, you have to enable it and it's not there by default, because as far as I know, no one fucking uses that thing, because everyone has a mouse and keyboard that they use with it.
You don't have a touchscreen for your desktop?
Yeah, no. But you said, it'll come in Windows 9. It'll be a paid upgrade. It's fucking 20 years down the line, whatever. But
have you ever actually played with one of those big touchscreen Windows 8 machines? Because they're not that bad.
I'm Not when running Windows 8, no.
Because I've gotten to play with a couple of them, and you know, with a big ass touch screen, like a giant slate kind of thing, it's not bad, but it's
What it's designed for,
right?
Yeah,
and
most
you can get around it okay, and you know, you still run your regular stuff on it, and it works just fine. But I still had to have a keyboard and mouse hooked up to the damn thing.
And I think like if they do include this for Windows 9, it'll just follow the pattern of like their good v crappy OS releases from Microsoft.
Yeah, did you look at the picture, Fox? I mean, in my opinion,
yeah,
it has the Windows 8 tile menu thing there, but it's much more acceptable than
it's not Windows stupid intrusive like the full screen.
Yeah,
because I can see like touchscreen or you know via some kind of virtual headset that hopefully isn't tied into Facebook. you know, I could see the desktop experience changing towards something that's more, you know, touch based or gesture based or something like that, where you need kind of like a big shiny button to push to get into shit. And like you know, once the desktop migrates into that realm, I think you're going to see, you know, a better adaptation and adoption of shit like that. But right now, they didn't really push the touch screen workstation on anything other than like their laptops and tablets, and if they'd called that Windows Mobile or something like that, it would have saved them a lot of backlash.
Definitely.
I think
the hybrid is inevitable, and I think that having the start menu and a slow transition over to these Metro tiles would probably have been the better way to go.
Yeah, that's that way you're not doing this immediately this immediate shock change, like.
Well,
like
I said, man, I would be okay if it had it in it by default, but just don't have it turned on by default. It can be in there, and it's like, say, hey, you know, do some hardware detection. Be like, oh, we see you're running a touchscreen. Do you want us to turn on the fucking Metro interface?
Or just,
if you don't have that, then
screw
don't have
the
that
default. Just ask on the when you run that first time setup wizard. You know, what do you want? Do you want a desktop? Do you want the touchscreen?
Configurable. Yeah.
You know, it's like when XP first came out. You know, everyone was wondering, like, 98, and like, well, we're not touching XP. It's a piece of shit. Like, it looks like a fucking cartoon show.
Yeah.
At least they had the fucking options in there to go back to your standard start menu and not have all their crazy shit on there. Like, it allowed people to make a smoother transition.
My Windows
over
7
to what they
works,
were doing.
I still go back to the Windows Classic themes.
Yeah.
To this day. I still use
I mean, like, when you take away the start menu, like, something that's been a key feature of Windows since 95, it's like, a huge drastic change. Like, people have gotten used to that thing being there. Now, granted, most of your end users, if there's not something on their desktop, they can't find it, which I guess is where they were going with the big shiny buttons of Metro, of, look, everything's on your desktop, click fucking here. But there should be, like, a non-retard version. Like, go into settings and there's, like, activate non-retard mode. Oh, look, it looks like Windows 7, but better.
Yeah, like I said, that's the whole thing. Just make it configurable. If people want it, they can turn it on. If they don't want it, they can turn it off.
I would say...
If they did that, it would be okay.
Go ahead.
If that's the way they're going and they want to keep that on by default, fine. I don't care if it's on by default, but as long as you let me turn it off.
Go ahead, are you?
You're forgetting the user. The end user is a retard. If there's a button there that can configure it, they can break it. You can't let them touch anything. Like, it's just set and forget for them. Because if they, you know, set it to back to XP or whatever mode where that doesn't have big shiny buttons, they'll be like, oh shit, this is going to cost me $200. I'm not going to pay to get it fixed. I'll just buy a new one.
And what's bad with that? Like, that's profitable for Microsoft. They sell a new license every time they do that. That's a great idea. But no, it's like, hell, if they want to keep that away, like, with the 900 flavors they're releasing their OSs in these days, like, the slightly less gimped version costs you $500 more, you know, make a Windows 8 non-retard, you know, now without Metro.
That would be a pretty good marketing point, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That's sad.
Yeah, they probably could have done that. They probably could have charged, you know, a couple hundred dollars more than their ultimate package and it could have been like Windows 8 without Metro, and people would have bought it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's essentially what I did, was I, you know, paid like $2 or whatever it was for that Start Is Back program, and it turned it back into Windows 7 for the most part. It still hit the Windows 8 stuff every once in a while, but it's not nearly as bad as it was. So, but, you know, and the sad part is they really did optimize Windows 8. It does run faster than Windows 7, at least on that laptop. But the interface is so damn goofy, I didn't want to touch it.
Sure. They need to keep in mind that they're still going to have professionals using that OS and having people that know what the fuck they want to do and want to tweak with it, still using that computer. One thing that annoys me the fuck out of me every time I sit down to a Windows 7 computer is there's no fucking Telnet. It's a feature that you have to install
now. You have to go to Windows features and turn it on.
Yeah, and it's little things like that that was on by default in every single other version of Windows. Why would they take that away and not turn it on by default? How that executable is probably 300K. Like, why the fuck isn't that in by default?
Another thing is, I could see a really good reason not to include Telnet by default.
Why?
So that malware couldn't take advantage of it.
Well, but I don't know.
You're writing malware for 7 to take advantage of it. You're going to have it automatically install that
feature
anyway.
Very true.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still little things like that irritate the fuck out of me with Windows.
When they move a specific program file that's been in the same spot for like 10 years.
No, not even that. That's evolution, I guess, kind of. You could say it changes. It's stuff that is modern today that was not, let's say, as prevalent like when Windows XP came out. Like, one thing that in particular that is annoying to me now that we have this new operating system that everyone's moving to, there's still no fucking default SSH client installed in Windows by default. Why the fuck not? SSH is everywhere now. Why can't I SSH from a Windows box? I've always got to fucking download PuTTY and go and use that. It's a little stupid shit like that. We can actually finally
because burn everybody goes
ISOs
and downloads PuTTY,
default.
So they've never had to address it before.
Well, it's retarded. Stuff like that should be included with an OS by default. Tools like that need to be expanded, not limited.
Yeah, it's one of those things like when you see like this is a, you know, incredibly frequently used app, like you know, you look at XP and like, oh look, you have zip folders by default now.
Yeah.
We know what to do with those, not go download some third party. I was like, they kind of get it, but yeah, they're still dropping the ball on certain things.
Well, SSH is seen as a dev tool, and they don't really care about that unless you buy their dev package. So
that's what I'm saying.
Whatever.
They should care. They should understand that there's multiple levels of people using that OS.
And their thought on the matter is you can buy the add-ons you need.
Microsoft DLC.
Yeah, pretty much. What do you think
ridiculous.
That Windows Plus shit was for all those years?
Yeah.
I guess. So. Another one that I just thought of is FTPS. Why the fuck, you know, yeah, I can FTP from a box, but I can't do TLS with FTP. Why the fuck not? Everything's encrypted today. Another one of those retarded tools that should be included by default that isn't.
All right. Next story up is from muckedware.com. We all know that Microsoft is dropping support for Windows XP very soon, and, well, no one is very happy about it. In fact, it turns out a lot of people are switching platforms so they can avoid upgrading to Windows 8. And the other platform is Linux. It turns out that parts of India are following suit. They have fully abandoned Windows. Tamil Nadu has issued a directive to local government departments asking them to switch over to open source software in the wake of Microsoft's decision to end support for Windows XP this month. And for anybody not keeping track, Windows XP support ends in 5 days. So you might want to do something about that if you're still running XP. You know, put something on the box or maybe pull it off the internet for a little while. Because I don't know that there's going to be this massive malware attack like everybody thinks there's going to be the moment they pull support for XP. But I do think you have a lot of people trying for a brief period of time just because it's been so ginned up. Where was I?
Not to mention the FUD that's been spread around. That's not going to help that at all.
Yeah. The reasoning is said that the hardware updates required to run Windows 8 would be too expensive to take place on a large scale. Of course, Microsoft had been expecting this recently and had been working on an upgrade that would reduce the system requirements. Still, this doesn't make up for all the trouble caused by the change of the interface. So, in replacement of Windows XP, local government agencies are upgrading to Brarat, a custom Linux distro that the government designed themselves. However, this is not a totally new phenomenon. It turns out that Russia in 2007 announced that all of its schools' computers were to run on Linux. This is a growing trend as the requirements and interface continue to go downhill in Windows 8. One of the most popular distros that has been used in education is Canonical's branch distro, Ubuntu. This is used at schools in Macedonia, the Philippines, and Germany. However, no matter the distro, it seems that across the globe, Linux is benefiting from Microsoft mistakes. So, yeah, in case anybody's been living under a rock, nobody wants to upgrade their machines if they still work, and you do kind of need a 3D card to run Windows 8 because that screen is all OpenGL, well, DirectX, but if you don't have a 3D accelerator in the box, it does not run very well. I loaded up back when Windows 8 was still kind of a beta-ish thing. We loaded it up on a touchscreen laptop that we had laying around. It was a tablet spin the screen around, a convertible kind of thing, old school convertible. It was a Pentium 4, and it had an Intel 910, I'm wanting to say, in it, or 8845 maybe. I don't know, one of those really shitty Intel chips.
Yeah.
It was really funny watching that start screen come in frame by frame. I tell you what. So they've got a pretty legitimate point. If they've got all this hardware that still works, and you know, it's like Windows 8 really won't run on it.
It's good for the open source community. Get more exposure.
You'll definitely hear about any of the fallout from XP losing support from any of the small businesses around that can't afford to, you know, chunk up to 7 or 8, either that or, you know, Google's gonna, or the Pirate Bay is gonna get a lot more traffic.
Don't do that. Soon. No, I don't mean it for any copyright reason. Almost every copy of Windows I've seen on the Pirate Bay is pre-owned, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They've all got fucking botnets and malware in them.
Itchy as fuck.
Do it for everything except your operating system. You want to make sure that thing is golden.
But the OS is such a small part of my machine.
Yeah, no, you're wrong.
No, like I said, that's where people are going to go, though. Like, that's what's been in the news. That's what they know about. They know about the Pirate Bay. Oh, that's where you get that free software stuff.
Yep.
So, that's like, very true. He hasn't got at least 5 copies of XP lying around on disk form.
Well, that's the thing. If XP goes to crap, they're going to go out and they're going to try to find, you know, 7 or 8.
Well, hell, Microsoft can just turn off the damned activation servers, which is what everybody feared when they first put that crap in XP. I remember those arguments of, wait, you got to activate it with them? You know, what if they decide to turn it off? Well, guess what? They're going to turn it off because they don't want you doing XP anymore.
Right.
So you'll have to crack it just to be able to continue to use it.
What do you guys think? Like the article was talking about, you know, the follies of Windows 8 and whatnot. What do you guys think of now that Ballmer's out and the new CEO? Do you think that's going to change the culture at all? Do you think
Windows 9 is
going to be fucking amazing?
Microsoft has had a huge design by committee problem for years. That kind of structure doesn't go away just because they get rid of the CEO. They'd have to completely reorganize the company to get rid of a lot of their problems.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it depends if he's like one of those visionary CEOs and he actually does do that. I mean,
oh yeah, that's the thing, is he's got to have some balls. And that's one thing.
Well, the new CEO is just the next guy up. He's been at Microsoft for years. He ain't going to change shit.
Yeah, it's an old boys club by now, man.
Like, yeah.
Nothing's going to change there.
That's unfortunate. One can hope, but you're probably right.
Okay.
No, they'll have to nearly go to the wall before they change up.
Yeah,
they'll pull a Nintendo.
I mean, they're on their way, obviously.
They've got so much momentum right now; it's going to be a while. So, well, I mean, Find me a business that doesn't use Active Directory, that has a serious infrastructure.
Well, that's always been the way, though. But that what they were talking about is, you know, as far as they aren't big in the mobile market, they aren't big on the tablet market. So that those are the things that might drive them in that direction or something. I don't know.
No, because Microsoft's core customer base has always been businesses. The fact that they've forgotten that with Windows 8 is kind of funny. But
and retarded.
Yeah, but I mean that's they have always had the business market. So
yeah,
this whole concept of they're just going to go away because they keep making stupid decisions, it's not going to happen. Not anytime soon. I mean, hell, where I work, it was just a few years ago that we finally were able to shut down the damned Novell servers. You know, infrastructure doesn't change that fast. Active Directory is going to be with us for a while. So, yeah. All right, let's see. Next story up is from Ars Technica. Google wants the Supreme Court to reverse a decision concluding that the media giant could be held liable for hijacking data on unencrypted Wi-Fi routers via its Street View cars. The legal flap should concern anybody who uses open Wi-Fi connections in public places such as coffeehouses and restaurants. That's because Google claims it is not illegal to intercept data from Wi-Fi signals that are not password protected. Google's Street View vehicles, which are mapping the globe, were housing Wi-Fi sniffing hardware that was gathering data on the MAC addresses of routers and neighborhoods to better Google's location services. But Google was also pulling snippets of data from unprotected Wi-Fi networks and claimed it did not know it was sniffing packets. That prompted a U.S. federal appeals court hearing a dozen combined lawsuits to conclude that Congress did not intend to condone such an intrusive and unwarranted invasion of privacy when it enacted the Wiretap Act to protect against unauthorized interception of electronic communications. The Federal Communications Commission in 2012 fined Google $25,000 for stonewalling its investigation into packet-sniffing debacle. The scandal came to light in 2010 after German authorities began asking questions. I believe they were asking about papers. Bad joke, sorry. Google, we've been there all night. I mean, fuck.
Where are your papers?
Papers, please, Google. Anyways, the scandal.
It's a fun game, by the way.
The scandal came to light. I already read that bit. The Mountain View, California-based search giant maintains that unencrypted Wi-Fi networks are radio communications akin to police and fire bans as well as AM/FM radio. As such, Google argues that they are exempt under federal wiretapping statutes. The decision below, manufactures a definition of radio communications that is at odds with established federal law and with the text structure and legislative history of the Wiretap Act, Google told the justices. The justices did not comment on whether or not the court would review the case. So Google is now in court trying to argue that it's okay to sniff packets on unencrypted Wi-Fi.
/WarDrive.
Awesome. I kind of don't like Google gathering random data, but again, it's unencrypted being broadcast through the air.
Well, I remember when they first got in trouble for this, they were using Kismet, and one of the ways Kismet can identify, Kismet will watch packets to pull MAC addresses and try to identify all the clients on a network. So if they had it configured wrong, they could be argued that they were storing packets, which I think is what they said, is that they'd goofed up and were storing packets even though they didn't mean to. Because the idea they had is that if they could map the location of wireless routers, because they don't change that often, they could improve location services, because if you see certain Wi-Fi networks in the area, you know, that helps Google narrow it down and then use GPS to hone in on the exact position.
Yep.
So, but it's an interesting case. On one hand, if it's open Wi-Fi, you just assume anybody can sniff it anyways, and probably is. But if they get the legal ruling that it's okay to do that, just don't connect open Wi-Fi. if you run a hotspot, set a password on it, print it out on, you know, big letters and some 8x4, and just put it up a couple of signs saying Wi-Fi password is. And just, you know, be done with it. Distribute it out or print it on every receipt if you're a coffee house or something. You know, hell, that way you can guarantee they bought a coffee before they get on your internet, you know, internet connection. So,
yeah, put a QR code up in the lobby.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, but yeah, could you imagine like somebody getting access to like that data in the Google Maps thing where it can actually overlay unsecured networks on Google Maps?
Oh, baby.
there's a couple of wardrobing sites that just had all of that worked out already.
Yeah, I was gonna say like that would make wardrobing so much easier, but apparently that already has been
done.
Oh
yeah, there's a couple of them.
You were there, dude.
I know. I wasn't gonna say anything.
Okay, I thought you forgot.
Nope, didn't want to out you.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
If you allegedly were into that kind of thing.
Allegedly.
At the time, I had a vehicle with a sunroof, so it was really easy to put the little mag mount Wi-Fi. Anyways, where were we? We're at an hour. You guys want to do the Australian government basically outlawing environmental protests?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't, if you want
protest.
Oh, yeah. It's out of the Bitcoin. I don't know. It's out of the Bitcoin.
We can skip the Bitcoin story too because that one's funny.
Yeah, you can probably bring that one up on Saturday.
The Bitcoin one or the Australian?
The Bitcoin one.
Well, okay, we can. I don't mind to skip the Bitcoin one. It's funny. Just to summarize the Bitcoin one, the Dread Pirate Roberts is arguing in court that because the IRS has declared Bitcoin as property, he can't be charged with money laundering for managing Bitcoins, which I thought it was pretty novel.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty funny. But, okay, this one's from The Guardian. Coalition MPs and industry groups are using a review of competition laws to push for a ban on campaigns against companies on the grounds that they are selling products that damage the environment, for example, by using old-growth timber or overfished seafood. The Parliamentary Secretary for Agriculture, Richard Colbeck, said the backbench rule committee and quite a number in the ministry want to use a review to remove an exemption for environmental groups from the consumer law ban on so-called secondary boycotts. I had to go look up what secondary boycotts were when I was reading this article. It's you can't try to, apparently in Australia, it's illegal to try to influence people to not buy something. Yeah. Like,
really?
Yeah.
You know how you'll see campaigns every once in a while. PETA is good at, you know, meat is murder thing. Don't buy meat. Well, right. Apparently that's illegal in Australia because, you're allowed to boycott privately, but you're not supposed to organize boycotts, apparently, if I understood the law correctly. And they have some exemptions for environmental reasons and a few other things they had exemptions for, and so they're talking about getting rid of the environmental one. The exemption also applies to campaigns related for consumer protection, but Colbeck said it would not be seeking to change that provision. The government announced last week a root and branch review of competition policy headed by the economist professor Ian Harper. Groups including the Australian Forest Product Association and parts of the seafood industry are also preparing submissions for the review, arguing that environmental campaigns against companies selling products made from native timber or unsustainable fishing amount to a secondary boycott and should be unlawful. Colbeck said the change was aimed at campaigns like No Harvey No, or the No Harvey No campaign by Get Up and Markets for Change, which is demanding the furniture retailer Harvey Norman stop selling products made from native forests. Now, Ari, you explained this to me when I first found the story yesterday. By native forests, do they just mean trees that grow in Australia?
Yeah, old growth forest.
Yeah.
Stuff that's not growing anymore. Yeah. It's been there for 200 years.
Okay.
And we've got plenty of photos of it.
What we used to have in the U.S. before we cut it all down.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just reopening all that. And it's because we're not exporting any minerals anymore. The country's broke. We have a government that thinks it's 1950 again. And I aren't listening to anyone. They don't care.
So I'm just going to summarize the rest of the story here. Pretty much the companies that want to use old growth and the fishing are claiming the environmental campaigns are lying, basically. They're going out in public and lying about what they do. And
they're lying that we're cutting down this or these trees.
Right.
That we...
Now,
there are no trees there. How could we have cut them down if they aren't there?
Now, I don't live there. I don't know the policies at all. But whenever I see something where it's like you're not allowed to protest and organize boycotts.
Exactly. That's what's shocking.
I might even agree that the environmental protests are dumb. But you don't have the right to silence people just because you disagree with them.
Exactly.
Well, this government seems to think
Hitler did nothing wrong.
Well, we can have that argument. I'd rather not, but we could have the argument.
No, that's his opinion.
Taking it to an extreme, like, you know, silencing people for disagreeing with you.
Well,
we're just not talking about it.
Yeah.
That's what this government's really good at doing. Yeah, we don't have any boat people coming in anymore. There are no refugees coming to this country whatsoever.
Well, what's on that boat over there?
Shut up. Don't look at that.
Ex-refugees. Pay no attention to the boat behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Don't pay attention to the color or the waters changing around the boat.
That can pretty much sum up the current system of governance that we have right now. There is nothing wrong. There is no crime rate. There is no crime. There's no illegals coming. Yeah. The waters are perfectly fine to go into. There are no shark attacks. Old growth forests are still there. Just don't go looking for them. but we can see they're gone, sir. No, they're not. That's just a figment of your imagination.
You know? There's never a forest there.
No, didn't you know old growth forest migrate?
We accidentally cut one of those trees down, but it's okay. We gave it a proper burial. Yeah.
You saw the tree ant scene? Those trees walk by themselves. That forest just moved.
Well, I mean, I guess if you get drunk enough, you might believe that shit.
And that's why Australians drink all the time, so they can believe their government.
I tell you, man, just on a different note, this douchebag from the first story has a very ugly-looking family. And for this computer security guy, he really doesn't secure his own shit. I wish I could read Sanspic, you know, because it's got letters in everything here.
What did you say that was called?
Sanspic.
Okay, just making sure I heard you right.
Yeah. You want to see a photo of him as the kid?
Oh, we've got a Flickr picture.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
Apparently they had cameras from the 1900s in Saudi Arabia when he was a kid.
Like, check out his...
We're on Australian Death Storm.
This is his command station.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. That's just an Instagram filter. Let's see.
Oh, yeah, that's
a beast rig, isn't it?
Battle station.
The credit card machine right there?
Marvel of technology and light and sound from 1980.
Give me a name in 1 hour and I own you, motherfucker. This shit is all going to 4chan. I'm just making a folder right now.
There you go. All right, it's time for this. All right, for Digital Dojo tonight, I've got training for everybody. First up is from sans.org. Sans held a penetration testing video contest a few months ago. They had asked for videos on tips and tricks, tool demonstrations, just helpful videos for penetration testers. And they were going to pick out the best couple of videos, and they've done so. And it's on their blog there, so we just got that link up. They've got three decent videos and a Rickroll for you. So, and you think I'm kidding. I'm not. They acknowledge that somebody sent them a Rickroll as their as the contest entry.
Nice.
But, so yeah, there's some decent videos there if you want to go check them out. And I wouldn't mind seeing some of the other entries. I didn't really find a list of the video, like the runners-up or anything, because I'm betting there's some good stuff in there, too. But
cool.
I would have liked to have seen some of that. And then finally, I'm pretty sure we've done it in Digital Dojo before, But Offensive Security has their free Metasploit Unleashed program, and I haven't looked at it in a little while, and it looks like they've updated it not too long ago. So it's basically a free web course showing you how to use Metasploit. It walks you through setting up a lab, Metasploitable, building a vulnerable Windows XP VM, and then basically beating the crap out of it with Kali Linux. So it's a good course. I ran the old version of it before. And,
yeah, same here.
I'm probably going to set up my lab and run the new version of it just, you know, for fun. And I hadn't seen it since they've done the Rev to Kali, so I didn't. When I was looking at it, it looked like they had, you know, tweaked a few things here and there and brought it up to date. So they do ask for donations to Hackers for Charity if you like the course. So, you know, you might want to do that if you want to give them back something for doing the course, because it's an excellent way to learn the tool.
And, yeah, like I said, I've gone through the old version, so that's
right.
Cool. They updated.
And so, of course, that's pretty much all I got. Of course, listen to the stream. We've been working on it lately. We're probably going to do some more work on it. And, again, if you're getting stutters on it, let me know, because I'm trying to see if that's cleared up or not. We can always bitch out the host or find a new host if it doesn't clear up. Pure Decking, every Thursday, Shoot the Noise is... What's the status of Shoot the Noise? Does anybody know?
At the moment, Big was saying he was going to bring it back, and that's about it. I haven't heard much from it.
Okay, I'm pretty sure Laura's ready to start bringing back Missing Dialogues as well, so...
Of course, and we've got a whole back catalog of...
Hugo stuff, yeah.
Hugo stuff, yeah.
We need to get that straightened out.
We got to speak to Hugo.
Well, yeah, we got to figure out if he wants us to post it on our website, or if he's going to post it on his, or, you know, how he wants to handle that, so... I need to catch up on his stuff too, because I've only listened to two episodes, and I know he's done like four or five, so I need to sit down and catch up on that stuff as well. But I liked what he was doing, so we need to get that on the air going. Of course, the Galaxy 15 Radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, the subreddit, and the IRC channel are all convenient ways to get a hold of us. TCP/IP via carrier pigeons, smoke signals, and telepathy are inconvenient ways to get a hold of us. Worst case scenario, get on 4chan and reply to RU's post, you know, naming and shaming this
it'll
guy.
It'll be under the comments, Muhammad sucks at security. Because you do, because I own your wife now, bitch.
And
I'm sure
we'll be watching that thread for at least, you know, 15 minutes. So if you want to get a hold of us, that's a way to do that as well. did I forget anything there? Sorry, what would be a way to get a hold of us?
Waving your penis at traffic with IHN tattooed onto your chest.
Yes, local law enforcement will be immediately by to direct you to the right location.
Please get into the party van when it arrives for you, and we'll be in contact
please
shortly.
Please assume the party submission position.
Do not tip the officers either. They do not like it.
No. Just the tip.
Oh, God.
Phrasing.
Bam.
I'm hitting play
Bye,
on this.
Bye, Muhammad.
I'm hitting play on this now.
User left your channel. User left your channel. User left your channel.